Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the KWS conference call regarding the quarterly report for the first 9 months, 2019 and 2020. At this time, all participants have been placed on a listen-only mode. The floor will be open for questions following the presentation. Let me now turn the floor over to your host, Eva Kienle, Chief Financial Officer of KWS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, a very good morning from Einbeck. I'm happy to have you in our call today to give you a little more detail on our results for the first 9 months of the business year 2019 and 20. While like everyone, our past quarter was of course characterized by the very challenging framework conditions for KWS due to the COVID-19 pandemic, we could see that still in view of the outstanding importance of our spring quarter, in which we generate around 60% of our annual sales and also a substantial part of our profit, the immediate management of the COVID-related restrictions was really essential for us. And I'm pleased to be able to state today, on the basis of the financial figures published, that KWS has demonstrated its high resilience and adaptability in these difficult times. A key challenge in the recent weeks has been to maintain production and logistics processes to ensure that seeds are delivered to farmers on time, while at the same time protecting, of course, the health of our employees. We took appropriate measures here at a very early stage and finally managed to deliver all quantities as planned and to the places needed. The recent classification of KWS as an essential business by the German Federal Ministry of Agriculture and Food underlines the importance of seeds for food for the population and gives us further planning security in future crisis situations. However, the challenges were not only on the production and logistics sides, as sales and on-site advice, which is a key aspect for KWS when working closely with our customers, were also affected by COVID. Here, we could increasingly use our digital communication channels, such as our new MyKWS, and were still able to provide our service and thus to ensure continuation of the business and communication to the farmers. All of this would not have been possible without the great commitment of our employees at KWS global locations, which I would like to emphasize here clearly. If we look at the numbers now, we can speak of a very successful business development for KWS in the first 9 months of 2019-20. Sales rose by 18% to over 1 billion euros year to date. The first time inclusion of the vegetable business had, of course, an impact here, but even the other segments also displayed great dynamics with an organic growth of 10% without considering the vegetable acquisition. The high growth was also positively influenced by earlier sowing in some regions compared to the previous year. EBITDA also increased significantly by 18%, driven by the very good development in sales overall, but also by the significant earnings contributions from the acquired vegetable seeds business. At 7%, EBIT did not increase quite as much, which is mainly due to the effect of the amortization following the purchase price allocation for the acquisition of Popfreen seeds in the Netherlands. Earnings per share rose by 8% to 4.18 euro with a slightly lower financial result but an improved tax rate. Let us now look at the development of the individual product segments and start with corn, our largest segment. Sales in our corn segment rose by around 6%, mainly due to the good development in Europe and Turkey. We were also very satisfied with the development in Brazil, where we were able to significantly increase our sales volumes. However, due to the weakness of the Brazilian real, this increase is unfortunately not reflected in the euro sales number. In North America, we also saw a good development in corn at our AgriLion joint venture, which was partially offset by declines in the soybean business. Our business in China held up very well despite a temporary full shutdown of the country due to COVID. Here, sales were at previous year's level. The segment EBIT rose by around 8%, as you can see in the bar chart, to 80 million euros, so that overall we are well on track to achieve our segment forecast for this year. Let me now come to the sugar beet segment, where we were able to record a very pleasing development with a double-digit increase in sales and EBIT. In particular, earlier sowing in some regions compared to previous year had a very positive effect. And even if the high growth is not transferable to the full financial year, we have become a bit more optimistic and we are confident that we can now expect slight sales growth in this segment. This is not a matter of course, since we have seen expected decreases in acreage in most regions. Conviso Smart plays a special and positive role here. These are innovative herbicide-tolerant sugar beet varieties that lead to a significantly lower use of herbicides in the field and thus to significant cost savings for the farmer. To be stressed, it's GMO-free technology. We have now introduced the technology in 24 countries already and have experienced a very good acceptance so far. We will roll out Conviso Smart in the other countries in the coming fiscal year and expect Conviso Smart's share of the total segment sales to increase significantly in the years to come. We also saw a significant increase in EBIT due to the good sales performance. This means that sugar beet remains KWS' most important and stable earnings provider even in challenging times. Now we come to the cereal segment, which generates most of the business in the first half of our fiscal year and has already been published with our half-year results. With sales growth of almost 14%, cereals is currently the fastest growing product segment at KWS. The increase is mainly due to our hybrid rye portfolio, where we hold a leading position and want to continuously expand this market. Hybrid rye is an increasingly attractive crop due to its special properties as a very drought-tolerant grain in times of noticeable changes in the climate and the associated low rainfalls. For the other crops, such as wheat, barley, and rapeseed, sales were at the previous year's level or slightly below. Due to the very encouraging business development in cereals, we have adjusted our segment forecast upwards and now expect significant sales growth with a stable margin. Now we come to vegetables, our youngest product segment. Here we see a sustained positive development, which is particularly characterized by good dynamics in spinach and bean seeds. With EBIT, before effects from the purchase price allocation of 23 million euro, we continue to maintain the segment's exceptionally high profitability of an over 30% EBIT margin. As already communicated, the reported EBIT is impacted by two non-cash effects from the purchase price allocation. First, on the one hand, through the valuation of the acquired inventories at fair value, so a profit margin on sales was eliminated. After 9 months, this effect amounted to around 9 million euros. For the entire financial year, we expect around 10 million euro charge. Logically, this effect will decrease significantly the coming financial year due to the progressing sale of the acquired inventories. Second, the second effect consists of amortization of intangible assets as mentioned. After the first 9 months, an amount of 16.4 million euro is in the books. And for the full year, as well as for the next two financial years, we expect an annual amount of around 20 million euros to be amortized, after which depreciation will drop to a high single-digit million amount only. We can confirm our outlook for the segment today. For the full year, we expect sales of 80 to 90 million euros with a continuing high profitability of 30 to 35% EBIT margin before PPA purchase price allocation effects. Let us now look at the corporate segment, in which we basically report our overarching admin and research costs. Here, the EBIT fell significantly after 9 months, but in line with our expectations. Main reasons are increased costs for the expansion of our back office organization, but also negative effects from currency hedging. The previous year, on the other hand, contained positive one-time effects, so that the comparison here is only partially meaningful. Finally, we have confirmed our full-year guidance today and see both sales and EBIT margin in the upper range of our forecast ranges after the very positive business development in the first 9 months and our decisive quarter. All in all, we are well on track for a successful financial year for KWS, the results of which we will then report to you in October. With this, I would like to close my presentation. Thank you very much for your attention so far, and I'm now looking forward to your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press 9 and the star key on your telephone keypad. In case you wish to cancel your question, press 9 and star again. Please press 9 and the star key now to state your question. And the first question comes from Christian Feitz. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Good morning. Just a couple of questions, please. First of all, can you give us an indication of the organic sales growth in vegetable seeds and also how EBIT grew in vegetable seeds, like for like? That would be helpful just to get a feeling for the development of your business. Second, can you elucidate the intentions write-down of 16 million in your veggie seeds business? And then third question, can we get an idea of the sales level of the drought-tolerant hybrid rye and also Conviso Smart? Thank you.
Okay, so let me start here with the question on organic sales growth of the vegetable seed segment. That clearly relates to Top Free Netherlands only, which is the first year after acquisition. And here clearly sales rose by around 5 to 6% compared to the prior acquisition year under the former owners in sales. In EBIT, it was around flat here, always excluding the purchase price effect, the effects of the purchase price allocation, of course. And EBIT was flat here because, of course, we had some cost increases due to the acquisition, which we allocated to the vegetables business. That's why the profitability there was flat. To give more details about the 60 million effect on the amortization of the purchase price allocation, well, basically it's the intangible assets that have been put on the balance sheet that are depreciated for 3, respectively 4 or 5 years only, so very strongly in the first year after an acquisition, which is customer-based commercial varieties in the market already due to maturing product portfolio. And of course, as I mentioned, the inventories that were taken over. For the rest, of course, and the main asset that we acquired here is the germplasm and the IP, and this is carried forward for a much longer time. So the big charge here of the first 3 years is really the current commercial and going to market portfolio and customer relations. Sales on hybrid rye account for about 30% of the cereal segment. So that's the major sales contributor in the cereal segment. And this year's sales expected for the full year, but basically it's all in Q3 in now, for Conviso Smart is roughly around 50 million euros.
50. Thank you. Very helpful. Thank you, Mrs. Kiener.
Are there any further questions?
Hello?
I'm not hearing anything. I'm not so sure this is appropriate or right.
The line's open.
Okay. I'm not sure. Heitz, are you still in? Okay, so seems to be an open line here.
Do you hear anyone?
I just hear you.
Me, Andreas Heine here. Can you hear me?
Ah, okay. So maybe you see, just put you through. Hello, Mr. Heine. Good morning.
Good morning. I didn't know that my line is open. Sorry, I haven't heard anything. I have a couple of smaller questions. Phone business in the U.S., it was indeed an early sowing season, but this is COVID-19 and the much lower use of bioethanol. I would assume that maybe there are some late-stage decisions and that the acreage might not be as high as forecasted right now. Do you see any risk that you will see corn seeds sent back to you so that the Q4 is pretty weak in the U.S. corn seed business by these remissions? That's the first question. I leave it with that and ask next after you've answered that one, please.
Okay, so you're right that so far the deliveries and the sales in the U.S. Are not at all affected by COVID. We do not expect too much of an effect this year, but probably maybe next year, as not only the acreage is relevant, so to say, but also then, of course, the expected commodity price towards year-end and harvest. And whereas we have seen a deep drop in the price about 2 weeks ago, it's going back up again. So it was at a real deep point in the beginning of May. So again, it's raising again steadily in the last days and weeks, which is not negatively affecting the outlook for corn, but positively. So we expect not something that would result in higher returns this year, but maybe a shift towards soybean in the next year, honestly, because also soybean deliveries are out and there is very little shift in between going on. There's a lower soybean sales volume also due to technology shifts in the market and, of course, also local spray restrictions on some herbicides. So that is why we see still corn being more attractive over soy this year and don't expect too high returns.
Thanks, that's helpful. The Conviso, quite impressive sales already this year. Would you be able to share with us how big the penetration of this Conviso seed into your own portfolio is? So how much of your variety have already?
It's still a one-digit percentage of sales of the sugar beet segment, of the acreage, of the European acreage. So looking at the amount, the volumes, it's a single-digit percentage of the European acreage, and we talk Europe only here. So the more we attack the big markets in the upcoming years, which is Eastern Europe and Western Europe, the higher this percentage of acreage will go. 24 countries mm-hmm. already online, so to say. But that's, of course, also smaller countries, Southeast Europe, Central Europe. But the big playing fields here are not yet launched.
And then again on Conviso, the number you were just giving to Christian's question on these 50 million, is that all your business or does that already include some license fees?
That's all our business.
So by now, no license fees at all?
Oh, no, yeah, we do have licenses out there to some competitors, but I don't know their sales numbers.
Okay, so these 50 is what is the value in your seat? It is
yes.
No license fees from your competitors.
Yes.
Okay, and then the last is on rye, which has indeed a strong growth. Well, it was last year that it was a very dry season, and this year it seems also to be a dry season. Is that something which is, let's say, just favorable weather, or do you think this to be also something we can extrapolate in the coming years?
That's a good question. That's the expectation on sustainable climate change, yes or no. I do think we will see more extreme weathers, be it drought, be it rain, thunderstorms, wind storms. So I think that is clearly, if you look back the last 10 years, that extreme weather is increasing. And if you take also drought as one example, also early drought, which is now relevant for the sowing season, like February, March, April, with drive-ins from the east, I think this will prevail compared to years like decades ago, and that is clearly it goes in favor of rye. Would I bet on now every March, April being super dry? No, but clearly the relative Vorzüglichkeit in German, whatever this is in English, the relative advantage of rye is increasing here.
Well, it was I used to that the phrase is rye belt you had from going from Germany to Poland and a little bit
it's
Russia.
Extending.
Is that extending?
The acreage you can plant for is increasing.
And it's going now also in other countries. So it has also a little bit to do with the consumer preference for wheat or rye in bread and this kind of business. Is that changing?
No, there is the food is still very limited and still not growing too much. The tendency is still towards wheat-based products. The increase goes into feed clearly here, as there is more and more diet to pigs and poultry is now much more becoming more diverse and more sophisticated, and we have good successes here in increasing our share in the feed market.
Perfect, thanks. These were my questions, basically.
Okay, thank you, Hannes.
And the next question comes from Axel Herlinghaus. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Good morning, everyone. Axel Herlinghaus from DZ Bank. First of all, I hope you're all well and healthy. Congrats to the KWS team on successful 3Q, and thanks for taking my question. The first one would be going out for 2020 to 2021 over the next fiscal year. In the press release, you've pointed out that the potential implication of the coronavirus pandemic are dampening your growth expectations. Which areas of your business, geographically and segment specifically, do you have in mind by saying that? Where do you see biggest risk of negative impacts? So this would be the first. And I would like, I guess it would be helpful if you answer perhaps the first, and then I take the second and third.
Okay. Yeah. So I think now we were really very successful this year, and as you can see in our results in Q3, we didn't have any impact in our really strongest months, March, April, and also China. That was exactly where the crisis hit. So one would have maybe expected also really an effect in this year, but also as our competitors, none of us saw too big of impact of this year. So what are we expecting for next year? In our environment, and we talk seeds only, so we are not impacted by anything that is related to agrochemicals here, is that we expect we have to look down the year until the year end, which is harvest time, which is commodity prices at harvest time. So what about the trading of seeds or of harvest at this point, what especially with regards to soybean and corn? Soybean, we do not assume a decrease overall in soybean acreage, as still China is demanding a lot, and even with the lockdowns, they are not self-sufficient. So the supply stream from Brazil to China might be impacted potentially by logistics if another shutdown occurs. But as we have seen also in this crisis, if China is close to really not being able to feed their people, they opened just simply up the frontiers and the factories and the processing capacities, even with pandemic times. That's what we saw in this year, March, April. So there will be a constant flow of soybean imports into China still. So question is U.S. corn, South America, South American market, South American economic and also human situation. It just starts now in South America severely that people are hit, especially in Brazil, but also in other South American countries. So we expect simply there will be not forcefully a business as usual in Brazil, as simply too many people are affected. Yeah. Farmers will really try to stay isolated and not to have the interaction they have these days. Logistics, there's big transport logistics needed to going from state to state. So we expect a ramping down or slowing down of in-country logistics further down the year. And of course, this is then relevant for selling off the grains in Brazil, especially in the U.S. So that's why we are not too optimistic or as optimistic and as sort of positive as we are this year for next year.
Okay. Thank you very much for that. Second one would be in the direction of CapEx volume and strategy. So in recent years, sugar and corn were segment-specific focal points of your investment activity, apart from high corporate CapEx. Will this remain so, or will there be a greater redistribution in the future towards cereals and vegetables, where you achieve strongest growth? And when do you plan to start moderating at least a little bit your CapEx activity?
Can you repeat the last question? When do you start?
Moderating a little bit the CapEx activity. So you're around 100 million right now. I think you want it to go down a bit by, I guess, during the next years, but perhaps you could sharpen this a bit.
Mm-hmm. Okay. CapEx, basically, as you say, it's in corn and it's in sugar beet. Sugar beet clearly has in the last year seen the complete renovation of our two main production facilities, the one in the U.S. in Tangent and the other one here in Einbeck in the last 2-3 years, which is about to be finished up. So this is basically what really drove CapEx in sugar beet, and that should it be with regards to the large factories. What we do see is a need now to reallocate the coating of our sugar beet seeds, as you know that neonics have been forbidden and some other herbicides have been forbidden for application in Europe. Eastern Europe is still a market for that, so we have to split a little bit of our process chain into coating in Eastern Europe for those countries where it's still not prohibited, and this requires some smaller CapEx needs for packing and coating facilities in Eastern Europe, in Russia mainly. That's with regards to sugar beet. And in corn, we do see further need only there where we have very strong growth, which is clearly South America. So we would expect, depending on the growth path and the growth rates, another CapEx in Brazil, depending on, again, how quick and how fast the growth goes, especially the drying capacities. But that's a quite limited amount. Else here in Einbeck, we are continuing to build and to construct further laboratory buildings. We are very much increasing our technology and research into new breeding technologies and also our what we call adjacent services like market technology that requires specific labs. So as we have just finished one of the lab buildings now here, we will refurbish and remodel the old one. And also with some of our inventory of our germplasm data pool, so to say, we have to make sure that we increase the security of storage here. So you might see also some more investments into Einbeck in the next years, but we should be around okay with 100 million, what you mentioned.
Okay.
But it will not be a reduction to below.
there's no reduction to. I think to my mind that you wanted to go down in the next, I guess, 2-3 years to about 80 million, or was it is it a mistake?
That the midterm plan is always a decrease expectation. Once you come to the year that is ahead, there is enough fantasy in the room to have that 80 going back up again to 100.
Okay, thanks. Perhaps the last one, asking for one globe. So how far have you progressed with the transformation process, and what's the further timetable? And that would be my last question. Thank you very much.
Okay. So for maybe the people that are new to this topic here, is we're centralizing all our back office functions in Germany into either Einbeck or Berlin. So we are closing down all our service centers, regional service centers that we have had in Barcelona, in Einbeck, in Vienna, and in Eastern Europe countries, in China and in North and South America. We have transitioned all companies from Western Europe, and we are now at the stage of transitioning the Eastern European countries, which will all be transitioned by the end of this year. So all Eastern European admin activities will be centralized by the end of 2020. And then next year, we'll attack first half the U.S. and second half South America, and by then, roughly towards mid-end of next year, we will have all admin structures being centralized in Berlin. In Berlin, we have a global shared service center, which is nicely ramping up, and we really see already the efficiencies kicking in here for the centralized processes and for the process standardized. So we are at 180 people already there in the global shared service centers, and they're supposed to grow for another 100 in the next year.
Thank you very much.
The next question comes from Martin Böhres. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Martin Böhres from Exane BNP Paribas. I have just one question, please. Do you consider that the strong increase in sales in Q3 was due to some advanced purchases due to fears of supply disruptions in the wake of the COVID-19 outbreak? Thank you.
No, clearly no. What, on the other hand, what we definitely know is last year's Q3 we were very late, mainly due to the weather situations, explicitly in the U.S. So we would see rather a normal year and a normal delivery routine processes compared to prior years in 1920, but 1819 was here the outlier with a really peak of deliveries only be affected beginning of April up to mid and end of April. So not related to COVID.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from Christian Seitz. Please go ahead.
Okay, great, thank you. One last question, please. On kind of the COVID ordering pattern topic, some of your competitors in vegetable seeds are saying that vegetable seeds geared to restaurants, such as cauliflower, are not selling as well as seeds geared to easy cooking, such as paprika and tomatoes. Can you confirm that in your veggie seeds portfolio?
To some extent, yes. So what we see clearly is a shift from processing, which we do not have so much, but also food service, which is restaurants and gastronomy, into retail. But basically the main 70-80% of the turnover is spinach, and there we didn't see a too big shift from food service into retail, because the assortment was very much already organic, retail-driven salads, baby leaf spinach in the U.S. markets. So clearly here we saw a shift, slight shift, an increase in retail at the cost of food service due to the closed-down gastronomy, which impacted margins, but not so much the top line.
Okay, great. Thank you. Very helpful, Ms. Kiener.
The next question comes from Knut Hinkel. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Knut Hinkel from Credit Suisse. Ms. Kienle, Mr. Vogt. First question is on your guidance. You stand at 184 million EBIT after Q3. And when I'm not mistaken, I have to add the 23 million from the vegetable business. And if I'm looking at last year's Q4, then you incurred 23 million for the last quarter. If we simply assume that would be the same level by and large, and add to that another 7 to 8 million contribution from vegetable, I get to an EBIT of around 190 million. And this compares to your guidance when I take the upper range of your guidance. I calculate EBIT of 162. So question is, where am I wrong here? Where's the flaw in the calculation? Maybe you can help me with that.
I'm not so sure I followed your computation correctly. Did you mention those effects from additional effect from the purchase price amortization?
I understand your guidance is before purchase price allocation.
Yeah, but are you looking now at an expectation before PPA or as reported then?
Yeah, I just took the results from Q3 and then I add back the vegetable results at 23 million. So because you said the guidance is before that, and then I take the result of last quarter minus 23 million, so the Q4 in 2019, and then I add another 7 to 8 million contribution from vegetables for Q4. So that's my simple calculation, and then I get to above 190 million. And your guidance.
No, you will not see this number. Definitely not, even before purchase price allocation effects. As I mentioned, we had a strong gearing towards Q4 last year. So if you take Q4 last year, this was too good compared to a regular year, as I mentioned, because a lot of deliveries went out in April only. So this is something you would have to deduct. And of course, we have an increased cost base this year due to the Globe restructuring and also R&D and you can literally follow up year on year. If you compare quarter by quarter, quarter four, you would maybe see a large single digit million amount on top of the structure costs.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thanks a lot. And then on balance sheet, you have clearly increased balance sheet in Q3 compared to last year, and operating cash flow is down. Where do you see a net working capital at the end of the year? I think last year it was around 44% of sales. Is that the same level that you expect for this year by and large, or are there any meaningful discrepancies?
So if you look at the balance sheet structure, there will not be any big change down to the end of this fiscal year. Of course, the huge swing or the changes is related to the acquisition here and the inventory step up of the acquisition through Popprints. But else we do not see a big change here towards the year end. And the question is, as of today, we don't expect a big change, but we are very closely monitoring the development of accounts receivables now in the light of COVID, of course. So far, we haven't seen any sort of loosening up of payment behaviors here. But of course, this might be something that we would reserve for the year end to find out if we increase the risk here of late payments or really insolvencies also.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and last question would be then on CapEx. If I'm not mistaken, you guided for a flat CapEx year on year, so around 100 million organically. Is that still valid, or do you see also some?
Yes, still valid.
Yeah, still valid. Okay, thanks a lot.
The next question comes from Michael Schäfer. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my three questions, basically. I start with the first one on the sugar beet side. On the 11% sales growth you've posted, can you break up basically the kind of volume component we have seen there in the first 9 months and maybe related to the sugar beet? On Conviso, thanks for providing more insights there on the sales in total. I would be interested on the penetration if I'm not mistaken, basically it's the first year that you are marketing in Poland. So how did this progress basically? What have you seen there in terms of market share and evolution, and maybe an update on the approval process in Russia? So this would be my first complex.
Okay, so let's start at the end. I'm not going to tell you the details about our market penetration in individual countries here. But as I mentioned, we have by now we have a single-digit percentage of the European acreage that is sold or sown with Conviso Smart varieties out of 24 countries, with a slightly reduced acreage in sugar beet in Europe, in those countries. So all in all, we are at our expectations. We are a little bit delayed with the launch, so not once we launched, we are not delayed in the market developments here, but with the launches, because we are dependent here on the registrations. So that is basically what I can tell you to Conviso, and I'm really sorry, but I don't want to clearly tell you on the individual market shares per country we're already occupying now. Approval situation, Russia, honestly, I am not sure where we are on that one. I haven't got an update on this one. I'm checking with Mr. Vogt if he knows, so I might get the answer in a minute. And so for the volume component is that you would see roughly 50%, yeah, half of the sales development is volume, half is price.
On the second one is on corn.
I got the answer. Russia, the approval is expected next fiscal year.
Okay, that's cool. Second question is on the corn side. In your prepared remarks and also on the slides, basically you hinted on market share gains and strong volume growth in Brazil. Can you quantify what you have gained there? Any kind of indication what in terms of market share expansion and maybe on AgReliant? Can you just remind us basically on the split of corn seeds, soybean seeds in general at the AgReliant JV, how this is splitting up?
Okay. So start with Brazil first. So corn volume, and of course volume is forex neutral, so to say, is roughly 13% up versus prior year, whereas soybean is a little bit lower volumes. There was a weather impact on the harvest last year, and we didn't have enough to sell. So we could, however, offset the soybean reduction by better prices, 12% increase in prices here. So we have no downside in gross margin in Brazil, neither for corn, because volume growth was there very, very nice, but also not in soybean. With regards to AgReliant, the split is about 80% corn and 20% soybean. And here sales volumes are about 10% up compared year on year.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks. And my last question would be on the outlook, and primarily here on the two segments, cereals and vegetables. So why have you picked basically the third quarter to upgrade your outlook on the cereal side? I think the business is mostly done. So just give better understanding here on this one, and related on the vegetable side, you're sticking to 30 to 35% EBIT margin, outlook or guidance for the full year, while you're presenting 36% in the 9 months. So this is all before the charges, PPA, etc. So I wonder what's going wrong in the fourth quarter in vegetables, basically, that you stick basically to the outlook for the full year on the margin side. Thank you.
So let's start with cereals here. So cereals, we're literally done with the first half. What happens then, potentially in January, February, is that we get some returns in, which we didn't get as in the prior year. So that's why there was a slight upside in cereals, now in a very small one in Q3 here. And also we got some higher licenses in, because the final license computations were done on the non-hybrid product assortment here. So that's why they had a little top up in the Q3 in cereals. Otherwise, you're right, there is not a big change expected in Q3 or for the guidance after Q2. In vegetables, we are simply, that's the first year we run the business.
we have put some cost, additional costs into the business, like some IT tools they have to serve. Of course, now our group needs with regards to reporting tools and reporting processes, et cetera, et cetera. So that's simply extremely conservative that we have said, let's look at the sales, how they work. The sales are okay, and we have put, again, some more conservatism here into cost expectation until year end.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you very much, and appreciate basically that you offered the call for the first time, I think, after Q3. Thank you.
And the next question comes from Mark Gabriel. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, Mrs. Kienle, and congratulations to the good results in a very mad environment. Sugar beet is my first question. Was again surprisingly strong, and compared with last year, in last year Q3, if I'm right, we had the
I hardly can hear you, Mr. Gabriel. Either you left the phone or you have a... Can you repeat it?
Is it
you
better?
Yeah, much better.
Is it better now?
Yeah, it's better.
Okay. Sorry. In the sugar beet business last year, we had the one-off from the potato business. That was around 10 million, and that was booked, if I'm right, in Q3. So when I look at this year's development of the sugar beet during Q3 with 200 million EBIT contribution, it raises the question, why are you so pessimistic for the full year? You stick to the guidance on the operating margin, that it will be tangible, be lower, but it was only 70 basis points lower than last year after 9 months. Are you a little bit too conservative here with that one? And on the development from Conviso Smart, when do you expect the approval for the bigger acreage countries like France, Germany, and Austria? And the final question from my side would be on the net financial debt target by the end of the fiscal year. Is that around 400 million? Is that a figure which we could take into our assumptions? That would be my questions. Thank you.
Okay. So let's start with your try to compute the EBIT of sugar beet. With regard to the one-off effect, potato, you're right, you recall that, right? Overall, the 10 million was for the entire fiscal year, so not by Q3. And on top of that, in Q3, you didn't have it in the sugar beet segment reported yet, but in corporate, because we just allocated it afterwards. Once we had the full money in, so we moved the entire effect into the sugar beet reporting in Q4 only. So this is a big thing, of course, that with regards to the calculation you made is not the right assumption you took here. Conviso Smart approvals for the big countries. We expect Germany in the next fiscal year to get an approval. The question is still with which requirements. So there is supposed to be an approval under certain conditions, which are constantly changing. So we are not sure about whether this might take more time to discuss and to fix on those application requirements or not. France also expected for end late next fiscal year, so spring 21. And Austria, I don't have an update, but that's not one of the real bigger markets here. And net financial debt, we're not yet so sure because we are quite likely to tap into another new good financing opportunity in the next days. And we're not sure where we would use that money for, whether we refinance some of the outstanding debts that we do have, or whether we keep the money and increase the indebtedness by this. So that's not yet decided. So I can't tell you where, whether we would just sort of turn the new financing around compared to commercial papers and others, or whether we would add some millions here to our financial indebtedness. It's not yet decided.
Okay, thank you very much.
And the last question comes from Oliver Schwarz. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my questions. Good morning. I'd like to labor a bit more on Conviso Smart because it's that interesting. Given that now a quarter of your sales has been generated with Conviso Smart in the 9 months of 2019-20, have you actually gained market share in sugar beet seeds in Europe this year, or is the steep increase in sales a reflection of the higher selling price that Conviso Smart comes with? I heard that it's basically traded for double the price of, let's say, traditional seeds, which what point had that been traditional seed, and which point sales numbers rather to 185, 187, which is still a significant increase from Q3 last year, but keeping in mind that last year a lot of sales were late and came in only in Q4, could you shed a light of your market share when it comes to acreage and not so much to sales? That would be my first question. Second question would be again on Conviso, but this time on the EBIT generation. When you're talking license fees, could you remind me whether these are one-time fees, or whether they are volume related to the sales of the licensee, or whether they are upfront one-off payments which might distort the picture in the 9 months of 2019-20. And then heading over to corporate.
Are you talking licenses for sugar beet here? Conviso?
Yeah, for the Conviso Smart product, basically. Because you said you started to license out that product, and I guess you have already incurred some license fees in the first 9 months of 2019-20, which basically bolsters your EBIT. So I'm talking, is that a number that will be increasing continuously over the next couple of years once your competitors also penetrate the markets more and generate higher sales in this product? Or is that a lump sum that was paid up front for, let's say, the next 1 or 2 years that and will only then be renewed once the license is renewed? Just checking on your business model here. And okay, let's keep it with that, and I'll ask my question on corporate after we discuss that perhaps.
Okay, yeah, Conviso Smart, you can expect a steadily increasing income flow in the next years, and exactly as you mentioned, the two effects here, or three actually, one is volume, one is price, and one is license income. Now let's start from the back. License income, it's not a one-time, and it's not an upfront payment, so it comes, so to say, after selling or after our license taker, our after the one who takes licenses from us has sold his volumes, there is a year-end invoice, so to say, that is established and audited, where he has to declare the volumes sold with Conviso Smart technology, and based on that we calculate our license income. So it's a yearly income that is computed and calculated for the closing, and we accrue for the expected sales. We have an upfront sort of agreement, of course, based on the orders of the license taker, but we don't know really what he has been selling in the marketplace. So literally, he gets delivered 100. So we compute or we accrue for an expected income on license for 100 units. Now he sells off 80, and at the year end he declares having sold only 80, and then we adjust the license income for year end closing. So it's a continuous income stream here that is also increasing depending, of course, on the market penetration that our competitors are able to achieve with that product on their side. So no one time and no lump sum or upfront payment, but a steady income flow here. As I mentioned, you can make the computation about 30%, 15% of sales with Convisa Smart now, about a single-digit market share in acreage. So this is clearly where we are today. And, of course, the market share in acreage will increase already in the existing countries where we are, but also, of course, in the countries, Russia, like the large-scale acreage countries, if we want to enter the marketplace there. So the big step-ups come in the late midterm years here.
Okay, very clear. Thank you for the bunch of details you provided. Very helpful. Okay, so moving on to my two questions on corporate. Firstly, the currency hedges, which seem to have negatively affected the results in the 9 months, are those, I guess they are, let's say, existing hedges that have not been expired in something, basically a fair value evaluation of existing currency hedges and not realized currency hedges. Would that be a fair assumption?
No, because it's realized, because we don't hedge our transactional exposure. We really, translational, yes, you would just see that as a charge, but clearly here it's a real loss.
Yeah, but you don't have, let's say, currency hedges currently for future.
No, we don't hedge. Again, we don't hedge our transactional activities.
Okay, I get that. Thank you so much. And last one, a very small one, regarding costs related to Globe. Could you remind me of the costs incurred in the first 9 months of this fiscal year and what you're planning for the full year in that regard, plus, if available, for the next year? That would be very helpful. Thank you.
I'm not sure I can answer this question properly, because what it consists of? It consists of ramping up a new organization. That is, like, you recruit 10 people today that are sitting there, that are onboarded, that are trained in the systems, in the processes, and wait for the tasks and activities to be transferred from the countries we are ramping down. So you have an overlap redundant cost structure due to 10 new people already, whereas the ex-old people are still transitioning their activities, closing down business activities, countries, accounts, etc. So you have a double structure cost.
Mm-hmm.
It depends, of course, on the pace and on the size of the countries and operations to be transitioned.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of the double cost of a structure that depends very much on again, the speed by which we go. So that is difficult to evaluate. Some countries are quicker transitioned. We just have one or two people locally with very short notice periods. So,
mm-hmm.
once you have transferred activities from Bulgaria, people are off within a month. If you talk about Germany, that was a very heavy transition. You have notice periods of 6 months and longer. That means even if people have transitioned their job, and you give them and you make them redundant, you have a 6 month period where you have to pay them, and plus the severance cost, of course. So that's why it's difficult to calculate that number. And additional project costs that I can mention is things related to IT adjustments, ticket systems, etc. That's roughly 2 million per year, where we have those tiny little IT adjustments that you have to bear once you shift a company into the new setup.
Okay. Thank you very much for that.
So we have no further questions. Let me hand back over to Ms. Kienle for some closing remarks.
Thank you very much for your interest and also the very knowledgeable and interesting questions. With regards to our business, I can still see there is a strong focus on our dear sugar beet and especially Conviso Smart. I'm sure you will clearly see that the business model really pays off well in the next fiscal years to come. And I wish you all the best. Stay healthy. Take care. And I hope not to surprise you to the bad with our year-end results that are due in October. Thank you very much.